My colleague, Rabbi Harold Kushner, loves to tell the story of the child who missed religious school because he was sick, and his brother comes home from school. And he says to his brother, "I missed religious school today. What country did we get kicked out of?" Because for so long, education in Jewish schools was, on this year we got kicked out of this country, and on that year we got kicked out of that country. And this is part of an endless parade of suffering that the Jewish people have endured until our day. And this Shabbat, which is Shabbat Zachor, the Shabbat of remembrance, of course, in some ways presents the same lesson. This is about how Amalek tried to destroy us, and they didn't succeed in their generation, and Amalek arose anew in this generation, in that generation, and you get the continuous cycle of pain and of persecution. But here's the strange thing about Purim. What are you supposed to do on Purim? It's a day of joy, of laughter, of celebration, of making fun of the tradition and of the rabbis. There's no one you're not allowed to mock on Purim. Even in the most traditional yeshivot, they mock their rabbis. Not, by the way, at Sinai, but in the traditional yeshivot. And you say to yourself, well, what's this about? After all, if Purim is the quintessential holiday of they tried to destroy us, are we really just happy because they didn't succeed? That's not much of a source of joy. I'm so happy that I wasn't quite killed. And you begin to realize that Judaism teaches us, if you pay attention to the current that goes underneath the story of our people, that despite the fact that we are acutely alive to pain, and we are aware of the anguish in this world, and we don't turn away from it, and we don't hide from it, the deeper current of Judaism is joy. The rabbis speak about simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of doing a mitzvah, and that's primarily not because you're doing the mitzvah. It's primarily because you're alive. You're in a world filled with wonder. You're in a universe of marvels. There is a star sown night and clouds and sun during the day. You open your eyes and you can see anything. There are other human beings. There's a natural world of plants and animals and mountains and trees and lakes and forests and deserts, and all of that should bring you joy. The world is chock full of things that are new experiences and also old experiences that you can have again and again and again, which is why I'm going to tell you an actual teaching that is really in the Talmud. It's in the Yerushalmi. I think it's in Peah, Masechet Peah, which teaches as follows. And you might not know, and they may not have taught you in day school or religious school that the Talmud says this, but it does. It says, God will call you to account for every pleasure that you saw and did not participate in. Now understand, that doesn't mean when you go down to the garage you can hotwire the Jaguar that doesn't belong to you. What does it mean that God will call you to account for all the pleasures you saw? Well, the first meaning is that you should in fact indulge yourself in the pleasures of this world. God made all these things, and we close our eyes. It's that wonderful story about Samson Raphael Hirsch, the founder of modern Orthodoxy in the 19th century, who told his disciples early in his 80s that for the first time in his life he was going to go and take a walking tour of the Alps. And when they asked him why, he said, because I know when I die and I get to be in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in front of God, he's going to say to me, so Shimshon, did you see my Alps? Because God created this magnificent beauty, how can I not see it? And so the first meaning is that we should in fact take joy from the things that give us joy in this world. But the second meaning is when you participate in something that should give you joy, feel joyous. If you're going to eat the chocolate cake, don't take every bite saying, I really shouldn't be eating this. Don't destroy the joy that having joy can bring you. Don't assume that pleasure is intrinsically bad. It's not bad. Like anything else, it can be bad, depending. But in and of itself, it's a gift of God to the world. And when the kids spin their groggers and laugh and drown out the names and make fun of their teachers, that's very much in the spirit of our tradition. Because it isn't just a frivolous happiness. There is frivolous happiness as well. Right? Purim is a little bit about that too. In fact, I remember a year or two ago that a rabbi sent out several sayings for Purim, and one of them stuck with me by the humorist Dave Barry. He said, it's true that you're only young once, but you can be immature forever. So on Purim, you get to be a little immature, and that's okay. But it goes deeper, even than laughter, than frivolousness. It's because if you believe that there is a God who created the world, who superintends the world, that ultimately there is justice, then this is a good place. Not a painless place, but a good place. And the joy that it offers us is the joy that God wants us to have. And even when we remember an attempt to wipe out our people, we do it with the understanding that there's an undercurrent of joy to being alive, with a sense of gratitude. I don't know if this is true in any other tradition. I suspect not. But one thing I know about the Jewish tradition is that one of our patriarchs, one of the pillars of the Jewish people, is named Laughter, Yitzchak. That's his name. Yitzchak means laughter. And let me tell you something about the name Yitzchak. Of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yosef, God only named one. Avram was named Avram. God changed his name to Avraham. Yaakov was named Yaakov. God changes his name to Yisrael. Yosef stays Yosef, but he's named that by his parents. But God names Yitzchak. The name that God chooses for the only patriarch that God will name is laughter. Not pain, not suffering, not sorrow, but laughter. There is no coincidence in noting that there is a long and noble history of comedy in the Jewish tradition, and that the American comedic tradition was built by Jews. From that day to this, because laughter is woven into the fabric of the way that we respond to the world. And that is an indication of a deep and abiding joy. Shabbat Zachor is a Shabbat of remembrance. And we remember the bad stuff. And then we laugh. Not because the pain isn't real, and not because we don't mourn, But right now, at this moment, we're alive. We feel the wonder of God's world. We appreciate the humor and the irony of being here and being allowed to participate in all the many wonderful and varied things that this world brings. It's all a matter of perspective. I remember once I looked around my library and I realized that even though there are still many books in my library that I want to read or reread, I keep ordering more books. And I wrote to my friend, Joseph Epstein, and I said to him, you know, I'm starting to despair because there are all these books I really, really want to read, and I know I'll never have time to read them all. And he wrote back and he said, that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, you will never lack for a good book. It's all how you see it. There are more pleasures in this world, good, deep, legitimate, wonderful pleasures than you can experience in 100 lifetimes. But instead of letting that lead you to despair, it should lead you to joy. It means that every day you can experience some new joy, or you can re-experience some joy that you remember with affection and with love. That's what Purim should remind us of. It should remind us that really there are unexpected twists and turns in God's world. That losses sometimes lead to gains. That pains pave the way to joy. That there are all sorts of things in this world that you don't expect and you don't anticipate that can take you by the hand to a new place. Tonight and tomorrow, we'll read the Megillah again, and we'll spin our groggers again, and we'll dress up in silly costumes all over again. But it's not a frivolous exercise. It's actually an expression of something enormously important. The English author Maurice Samuel wrote his autobiography and called it The Gentleman and the Jew. And he talked about how growing up in England, he idealized the ideal of the gentleman, the Shakespearean hero, the Byronic hero who died in a sword fight with a quip, with a joke on his lips. And as a young man, that seemed such a wonderful way to be, and he looked at the Jews in his neighborhood who were so serious and always bent over a book and always discussing earnest things, and he thought, that's not the way to be. I want to be like the sword-fighting gentleman. But as he got older, he realized that there was a glint of holy joy, a deep current of appreciation of the goodness of the world in the eye of that old Jew, that the world seemed to them not frivolous, not superficial, but sacred. Deep, beautiful, and joyous. And so Samuel changed his vocation and became a sort of itinerant preacher of the Jewish tradition and translated the great Yiddish classics of Peretz and Sholem Aleichem to English for the first time and spread that tradition of beautiful and humorous writing all over the world. It's true that we like jokes and we like laughter and that that's part of Purim. But deeper than that is the recognition that God has given us this day. We may have tomorrow and we may not. We may have next year and we may not. But we have this day. Ze hayom asa Adonai, nagila v'nismechavo. That's what our tradition teaches. This is the day that God has made. Rejoice in it and be happy. Simcha shel mitzvah. Purim, Adar, is the time of our joy. But the truth is, every day, in every day, there should be some joy. After all, that is why God gave us this magnificent this beautiful world so that we might enjoy it and each other, and by our joy, draw closer to the God who gave us this blessing. Shabbat Shalom.